And so we're going to get into it. We're going to talk first about this primetime address from Donald Trump tonight. We'll set it up. Yesterday, it was announced that Trump would be addressing the nation primetime from the White House tonight. And as of last night, nobody had any clue what the speech would be about. This morning, there was a rumor going around that the speech would be a declaration of war against Venezuela. And this was timed, I think coincidentally, with a war powers resolution voted on in the House of Representatives, which would constrain Trump's ability to declare war. So people said the timing of these two things would suggest that Trump is going to war. Tucker Carlson made an appearance on Judge Andrew Napolitano's show this morning, and he said he was told by a member of Congress that the White House briefed Congress that we were going to war with Venezuela. It would be announced tonight. This was verified by antiwar.com. It was verified by other sources. And everybody tuned in tonight at 8 o'clock Central to see our declaration of war. It didn't happen. Instead, we got a 20-minute speech, 20 minutes exactly, where the president defended his record on the economy and announced a couple of bizarre new initiatives. This is a story about it from the New York Times. It says, quote, President Trump delivered an 18-minute primetime speech to the nation Wednesday evening, arguing that the economy under his leadership is in better shape than Americans believe. It's so good that, you know, you have to tell everybody how good it is. Nobody knows the economy's good. You have to remind them. Hey, I know you feel broke, but you're not. I know you feel like you've gotten poorer. You're wrong. You're better off. You feel good. You feel prosperous now. I think the numbers on Black Friday were something like 90% of people used Klarna, used buy now, pay later to finance their Black Friday purchases. But yeah, no, everything's totally fine. You know, 50-year mortgages, buy now, pay later is super popular. Job market is frozen. They didn't even publish the numbers in October. No, but it's great. It's great. Trust. Trust the plan, idiot. It's actually fine. Gas is 50 cents a gallon. Just trust me. The article goes on. It says, wielding charts and figures, some of them misleading, Mr. Trump tried to make the case that the economy is improving, or at least that the bad parts of it are not his fault. The speech resembled comments Mr. Trump often makes while speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, full of self-praise of his own job performance while disparaging his predecessor, President Joe Biden. But he had a wider audience than usual, with networks interrupting their regularly scheduled programming to carry the remarks. In a surprising moment, Mr. Trump announced what he called a warrior dividend. Cool name, cool stuff. In which checks of $1,776 will be sent to 1.4 million members of the military. The president said the money would come from tariffs that he has levied on goods imported into the country. Just like, remember when he said that the tariffs would pay down the debt? So that was a lie. Then he said the tariffs were going to create a dividend for everybody. And that was a lie too. So now the tariffs are going to pay for a dividend for the troops. Okay, well, what about the rest of us? You know, what about the rest of us that aren't fighting for Israel or whatever? It's a warrior dividend. Great. The tariffs destroyed the stock market. The tariffs have slowed down the economy. Good news is the troops are going to get a paycheck. Well, there's no one more deserving, right? The article goes on. It says, Mr. Trump promised the economy would improve in the next year and that his policies would cause prices on electricity and everything else to fall dramatically. He said mortgage payments will be coming down even further early in the new year. And he said he would announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history next year. Okay, hopefully so. A recent New York Times analysis of Mr. Trump's approval ratings found a decline in support for Mr. Trump's handling of the economy from July to November. After he was finished speaking, he turned to the press and said, "You think that's easy?" And then took a swig of Diet Coke. He then suggested to those in the room that his chief of staff, Susie Wiles, had told him that he had to deliver the speech. He asked how he had done. Ms. Wiles replied, "I told you 20 minutes and you were 20 minutes on the dot." So it's very clear that this was all another trick. This is all just part of the bag of tricks. And I'll tell you what happened. Trump tricked the media and the public into watching this garbage. His approval ratings are in the toilet. His favorability is in the toilet. People's opinion of his job approval, specifically on the economy and immigration, is in the toilet. It's all bad. Trump is unpopular with his own base because of the exit of Marjorie Greene, the handling of the Epstein files, the post about Rob Reiner, the lack of conclusion to the war in Ukraine, lack of mass deportations, lack of law and order from National Guard in the cities. People are not happy with the Trump administration. He's not delivering. All he is doing is talking. Rather than deliver one or any of the promises that he made, he is simply talking them up, trying to convince us that they are certainly happening. So he went and traveled and did a rally last week where he gave basically this exact same speech. And you might not know that that happened, and probably you didn't see it. He went out to a rally last week and gave a big stump speech. He's a lame duck president giving a stump speech, giving a campaign rally, talking about how everything is actually fine. Nobody carried it. Nobody picked it up. Nobody paid any attention. So this is where they hatched this idea. How are we going to get the public to listen to our defense of our catastrophic administration? We will trick them. We will actually just lie to them. So the Trump administration put out through back channels this rumor that Trump was going to war with Venezuela. He put that rumor out, maybe through Congress, maybe through Tucker Carlson, through others, and he tricked us. The mainstream media thought that Trump was going to declare war on Venezuela tonight, so they carried it on the networks. The American public thought a declaration of war was being made tonight, so people tuned in. And then it was a classic bait and switch. Instead of declaring war on Venezuela, he gave an 18-minute stump speech defending his record and announcing that next year, everything's just going to get better. And this is why everyone hates Trump now. This is why everyone hates Trump. Everyone hates this administration. Because it is a scam. It's not even a failure. It's not even an honest failure. It is a scam. We are not getting anything that we have been promised. Think about it. We were promised industrial policy, tariffs, subsidies. They backed down in 1 week. Remember Liberation Day, April 2nd. We're going to liberate ourselves from free trade. We're going to have tariffs on every country. They caved in 1 week and then said, oh, the whole time it was really just about China. Remember that? Another fake out. They said, we're declaring tariffs on every country in the world. And then when the bond market melted down, they said, never mind. It was really just a big trick. And what we always intended to do was to only have tariffs on China and nobody else. Trump always chickens out. Then he said, we're going to deploy the National Guard to Chicago and LA and Memphis and every major city, and we're going to bring law and order to the streets. Then they said, oh, actually, we can't do that. And if we deploy 200 National Guard, that's what we meant, and we're only doing it for 60 days, and it never happened. Trump always chickens out. He said, mass deportations, we're going to get all these people back. We're going to deport everybody, the violent criminals first, and then everybody else. 300,000 deportations for the year. He always chickens out. Every single thing is a catastrophe. And instead of just being honest about the state of things, instead of actually just recommitting to doing these things that were promised, we get excuses. They just fucking lie. And Trump gets up in a primetime address like he did every week in the first term and said, actually, everything's really going great. And it's like we just live in two different worlds now. We live in two different worlds with MAGA supporters, with Trump supporters. In the minds of Trump supporters, 3 million people have been deported and Trump has ended 8 wars and inflation is actually down. And that is what they believe. Even though the war in Ukraine is going on, they will confidently tell you, but Trump ended 8 wars. And what they're referring to is the war between Thailand and Cambodia, not making that up. The war between Rwanda and Congo, not making that up. The war between the skirmish between India and Pakistan. In reality, where we live, the Ukraine war, you know, the actual war, that's still going on. The peace in Gaza, that's falling apart and will probably restart anytime soon. But Trump supporters will say, no, no, but he ended 8 different wars. How much do you want him to do? It's like, I think we elected him to end the war in Ukraine, not the one in Cambodia, actually. Not the border skirmish in Cambodia, you know. You say, where are the mass deportations? They don't even report the figures. The best estimates say it's 300,000, maybe 500,000 at most. In Trump world, they take a community survey that polled 65,000 households, and they extrapolate that to mean that 3 million people left the country because they were afraid of Trump. Trump deployed National Guard to Washington, D.C. They said, so actually, he made good on the promise of restoring law and order. And he comes onto the primetime address and insults our intelligence, defending this record with nonsense. Defensive with these cutesy little rhetorical phrases. We didn't need legislation to close the border. We just needed a new president. Yeah, you know, that was cute like the first 300 times we heard it. Now it's just a joke. So this characterizes everything about the Trump years. The whole thing is a bait and switch. The whole thing is just a never-ending advertisement. We're always fighting. Victory, prosperity is always just around the corner. Even tonight, he announces a check for the veterans. Okay, like honestly, big deal. The tariffs are not bringing in that much money. They're not solving the debt problem at all. They're not bringing back manufacturing. But Trump instead just lies and says, well, actually, we're bringing in so much money, we're going to get rid of income taxes and we're going to pay people money. Well, what happened to DOGE cutting the deficit by $2 trillion? What happened to that? What happened to tariffs actually making money from every country? Then he says, well, we're going to cut a check to everybody. Oh, we don't have enough money for that. Now it's a check for the veterans. Now it's a check for the soldiers, and we'll call it a warrior dividend. Warrior. More of this cultural language. The only thing that was substantive in the speech, he talked about a ambitious housing plan next year. Okay, why? It's like you hear that and you go, he does a primetime address to announce that he'll have a housing plan later. Then why announce it now? He comes on 8 o'clock, primetime, tricks everybody into watching. Okay, you've got everybody's attention. You've got a captive audience. What do you have to say? How are we going to turn this around? What's the plan? Well, I am going to change housing. It is the most ambitious, wide-reaching housing reform in American history, and it's almost done. I'm announcing it next year. Okay, so did you plan on becoming president? I understand if you were surprised that you won the first time, but this is the third time you ran for president. And you should have a pretty good idea of what you want to do when you get in. There's no housing plan. It's not finished yet. Did you not know you needed one during the presidential transition before the election? And why are we announcing it now then? Hey, I have an announcement, everybody. I'm working on a plan for housing. Get ready because it's all going to get better. Okay, but when and what is it and what are the details? When are we actually going to see prosperity? And how are they going to get that through the Congress in 2026 when Democrats are having to appease and pander to their base? How's that even going to work? Trump has passed 5 bills. This entire year. Every other president, it's like over 100. He's passed 5. He doesn't even have a plan yet. But now next year, there's going to be a far-reaching housing plan. We're now going to take affordability later. And the speech isn't even good. On top of all this, so first of all, You lie to get us to watch. You lie to our faces that things are going great. You don't even have a plan. Clearly, he knows there's a problem. He knows it's not going well. He knows he needs a reset. He doesn't even have a plan. There's not even an idea. Oh, we'll cut a check to the veterans and the rest to be announced later. There's not even a plan. Insulting us with lies about the state of the economy. And then to add insult to injury, it's not even a good speech. He sounds retarded. If you actually watch the speech, he can't even read. He's reading from a teleprompter, and you could see him stumbling maybe a half dozen times in an 18-minute speech. The confidence isn't there anymore. The swagger isn't there. Stuttering, stumbling, weird little riffs, weird little verbal tics, detours he keeps going on. And you say, so the magic is gone too. The substance is gone. The style is gone. He's not delivering. It's not even the same message. And he's not even funny. And now it's not even entertainment. And I see these assholes on Twitter. They say, Trump just trolled the media into carrying his primetime address from the White House. Ha ha, the joke is on them. No, the joke is on us. The joke is on us that Trump has tricked us, saber-rattling, starting another new war. We tune in. It's insult after insult, lies, and it's not even entertaining on top of it. Who got trolled here exactly, other than anybody that still supports this person, other than anybody that still believes in any capacity that this administration can get something done? So I watched the address. It's just another ridiculous show. And I'm ready to be done with the Trump show. And unlike Tucker, I'm not going to do a 180 and say, oh, I don't know what I said. You know, what I meant was, no, this Trump show has, it's just got to end. I don't know. And I would say he should step down, but then J.D. Vance is going to become the president. But what do you even do with this at this point? Everything I said has come to pass. Worse even than I imagined, because I told you in 2024 it would be like this. I told you this is exactly how it would go, and it was pretty obvious why. Trump had sold out to the donors on everything, on labor, on immigration, on foreign policy. His cabinet was hand-selected by Susie Wiles, a lobbyist from Florida, and she brought in all the Florida swamp creatures. She handpicked this bullshit candidate, or excuse me, cabinet. It should have been absolutely predictable. But somehow it's even worse. I told you a year ago, it's going to be corporate tax cuts, war for Israel. The war in Ukraine is not going to end. No mass deportations. It's going to be more permanent bureaucrats running out the clock. They're not going to move with the urgency, the swiftness that they need to. And in the end, all it's going to do is bring the left down harder upon us. Let's say the Democrats win in 2028, which if they appoint an actually viable candidate, we're in trouble. We kind of got lucky in 2024, wouldn't you say? We got lucky that Joe Biden is demented. We got lucky that his successor, Kamala Harris, was somehow more unpopular than him. Joe Biden was barely alive. Kamala Harris had never won a single contest, a caucus, a primary, has never won any kind of contest in a national election. Add to that, that Trump had the full weight of the Israel lobby and little tech, and he got shot in the ear and had the iconic moment that changed the course of history. So we kind of got lucky in 2028, just like we got lucky in 2016. If the Democrats put up a halfway decent candidate in 2028 that doesn't alienate white people, that isn't super woke and isn't super cringe, we're going to get absolutely destroyed. And you know what's going to happen when they win? They're not going to fuck around like we are. They're not going to hire Rachel Maddow to run the FBI. They're not going to appoint a bunch of idiots to run the cabinet. They are going to hire the best judges, the best lawyers, the best law enforcement, and they are going to literally kill us. They are literally going to take away all of our civil liberties. They are going to throw us in jail. Because you see that Trump is barking up the wrong tree here. He is weaponizing the DOJ against James Comey, Barack Obama, Letitia James, Jackson, whatever. The way that Trump is going after his enemies, the way that he is inciting them and basically just antagonizing the radical left, He is inviting a brutal retaliation. So if we don't get lucky in 2028, they're almost certainly getting back in power. They will wield executive power. They'll have the House, maybe not the Senate. And unlike Republicans, they're not going to screw around. They're going to come to get us. So people say, well, why don't you just trust the plan? Why don't you just be patient? Well, we're trying our best. Trump needs to be acting like a literal dictator. You either need to be a dictator or you need to make peace with the left. But you can't do this thing in the middle where you pretend to be a dictator, but you're not one. Because like I said, all that is doing is inviting a retaliation. And Trump might be fine. If he pardons himself preemptively, he'll be okay. It's us that's going to pay the price. It's Elon that'll pay the price. It's everybody that helped Trump ever. They're going to pay the price from a new Democrat administration. They're going to help all their allies. They're going to punish all their enemies because we didn't do that when we had the power. So this is very frustrating. It's very hard to watch because this is just a squandered opportunity. You actually had the ability to achieve a golden age if Trump was halfway serious, but people just didn't want to see the flaws. People were so caught up in the hype, so whipped up in the moment. All these stupid political cocksuckers, they were being paid under the table by super PACs, PACs, the party itself, whatever, paid as consultants, paid as nonprofits. All these political idiots were basically paid or they didn't care. They looked the other way. They gassed everybody up. They were all in on Trump. Nobody pointed out the flaws. And now we're stuck with this nonsense for 4 years and then we're all going to die. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic about that. But we have been absolutely screwed. And the reason I keep saying I told you so is because this reflects a feature in the Republican Party. I said all of this last year, and I made a very rational case. I made the arguments. And on some level, everybody kind of knew this. But the people that influence the conversation on social media don't care. They don't read. They don't know anything. And they don't care about the outcome. They're also being paid, and they didn't disclose that they were being paid. So I had guys like Elijah Schaefer. I'll name some names. I had guys like Elijah Schaefer confronting me at CPAC this year. So I don't get it. Why didn't you support Trump? Well, hey, buddy, do you know now? He tells me, you know, I don't watch your show. I don't have time. Why don't you like Trump? Well, you know, maybe if you watch his show, maybe if you cracked open a book once in a while, maybe if you read something instead of just taking money from India and El Salvador, maybe you'd know why I didn't support Trump. Maybe you wouldn't be finding out a year later like everybody else. And he's just one example. And I like Elijah. I consider him a friend. But I'm calling him out on his irresponsibility, just like I'll call out a lot of people that in the end went for Trump because they wanted to brown nose. They wanted a job in the campaign. They wanted a job in the admin on this sinking fucking ship. They wanted a title. They didn't want to be left out or left behind. They didn't want the FOMO. So they said, I'm going to support Trump. I got to get in on this. I know that it's not exciting. And they lied to themselves. And many of them lied to you. They took money under the table. And they lied to you and they pretended like this administration was going to be great. And honestly, the whole thing is, when I say a scam, I mean they're looting the government. These cabinet officials, they are fucking corrupt. They're looting the government. What did Trump do when he won? He put out a shit coin and told everybody to buy it on social media. And that is now more than 50% of his net worth. You fucking stupid idiot. Trump got elected, put out a shit coin, all of his followers bought it, and then he sold and made literally billions of dollars. And you don't think that all of his cronies did exactly the same thing? You don't think that all of the insiders, many of them Jewish, at Mar-a-Lago, you don't think they profited from that as well? Of course they did. Talk about an omen. Talk about a red flag. Gee, I wonder if Trump is going to scam us again. I wonder if Trump is going to screw us again. And then he puts out a shit coin. Everybody buys it. And he literally rug pulls you and leaves you holding the bag like any other celebrity, like any other crypto scammer and you thought you were going to get your mass deportations, this whole thing needs to be burned to the ground, figuratively. Not literally, but this whole thing needs to be burned to the ground. You're not mad enough. You're not angry enough. You're not pissed off enough. You people are not tired of eating shit yet. People are still gobbling this stuff up. Ha, ha, ha. Trump trolled them into carrying his address. Ha, ha. Trump said Somalians are garbage. What a laugh. What a riot. You stupid idiot. And what do you think is going to happen? And at the end of these 4 years, Springfield, Ohio is still going to be filled with Haitians, and Minneapolis is still going to be filled with Somalis. I will bet you $10 billion fucking dollars that that is the case. Would you take me up on that? Absolutely not, because you know as well as I do, those people aren't going anywhere. They're going to put another Nicky Knack 300 National Guard and ICE and Border Patrol in Minneapolis. They're going to have them doing a bunch of poses for social media video edits, and then they're going to go home. Some stupid liberal is going to put their middle finger in their face. They're going to get trolled on social media, and then they're going to go home. And Trump is going to say, mission accomplished. Because that's exactly what happened in Chicago. They had this, what do they call it? Operation Midway Blitz. Operation Midway Blitz. What did they call it? Alligator Alcatraz. Hey, Bal. And the, what did they deport? 1,000 fucking people? They went to L.A. with the National Guard. And in the end, they deported 1,000 people. You had liberals storm the detention facility and they found it was empty. Liberals stormed the detention facilities where illegal immigrants are being concentrated and it was empty. Like, if that doesn't tell you what this administration is, liberals think there's another Holocaust. They think that ICE is the new Gestapo, Trump is the new Hitler, illegals are the new Jews, and they are literally being whipped up. They think it's another Holocaust. That's why you have snipers blowing people's heads off. That's why you have terrorist attacks being plotted against this country, because they think it's Nazi Germany, and they're not even deporting anybody. The detention facilities are empty. In the end, who is that guy that they deported to El Salvador and the judges made them bring him back? What was that guy's name? Something, something Garcia. They made the Trump administration bring him back. Hey, listen up. Listen up, Garcia, Kilmar, Alberto Garcia. You have 100 days until you get deported. And then you have 50 days until you're brought back. All these illegal alien farm workers, you have 200 days to get the fuck out of our country. And then you have a 30-day grace period to lawfully come back in, and we will give you an H-1A visa, and we will set you up in the Four Seasons Hotel, because that's what Brookie wants. That's what Brooke Rollins at Agriculture wants, because she has a better relationship with Trump than Kristi Noem, because that's our idiot cabinet, America First Policy Institute. How many people were complicit in this? How many? It's all of these people are complicit. They are all going to parties wearing tuxedos where people are not invited. No, but all these people, they're making money. All these people in politics, Trump included, Kristi Noem, Corey Lewandowski, these people are all making money, effectively, allegedly selling titles, like doing corrupt things that powerful people do. They're all securing their retirement while they loot the country, while they dare the left to kill us. And then when the left comes to power, we're going to be the ones holding the bag. That's why it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace. And everybody that shilled for Trump, like, you can just never trust them again. Anybody that was pro-Trump, you know, I don't care if they were well-intentioned or not, you can just never trust them again. Anybody that said, oh, I told people to vote for Trump, Tucker and Candace included, we had a chance to turn this around. It was during the election. It was during the, you want to call Trump out? Call him out when he needs your damn vote. Trump was saying all this a year ago about H-1B visas, about stapling green cards to diplomas. He was not serious about mass deportations a year ago. He was talking about bombing Iran a year ago. The time to call him out on it was last year when they needed something from us, when they needed our vote. But all of you people told yourselves, well, we'll figure that out later. Okay, well, it's later. And the speech tonight said, oh, it's coming later. It's always just a year away. Not for Israel, not for the billionaires, not for the oligarchs. For them, they get their tangible benefit today on a silver platter. For all of us voters, we're waiting for next year, always. So that's your primetime address. I don't know how people even find it funny. It's not funny. The whole thing's a big joke. The whole thing is a big, stupid joke. And you understand why Marjorie Taylor Greene quit. Because it's like, and I understand, people like her, her son is getting death threats. Her family's getting death threats. She's trying to make good on the promises, and she's being attacked by the president, sicking his supporters on her. And you go, okay, so what are we even fighting for then if the leader is not even pushing the principles of America first? If he's going to endorse Lindsey Graham but attack Marjorie Greene, if he's going to open up the floodgates for the Chinese to fund the universities, and he's attacking me for saying that's not a good idea, then why are we suffering like this? Now, the difference is that Marjorie didn't know what she was really fighting for. In her mind, she thought she was fighting for Trump and MAGA. I never made that mistake. I'm fighting for this movement. I'm fighting for America first. And if Trump will be America first, then we're with Trump. And if he's not, then we're not. And that's why we can't be absolutely beholden to anybody. That's why our loyalty actually comes with a price tag. You want support from the Groypers? You want support from me? You want support from America first? You have to give us something. I don't have a jersey on. I'm not under a contract. I'm not being paid under the table by these people. You want me to shill for Trump and not Gavin Newsom? You want me to shill for Trump and not Kamala? Give me something. Give us something tangible. We have a price, just like Elon Musk has an ask, just like Miriam Adelson has an ask. We have an ask as well. And that's a difference between people that are serious and people that are being strung along and turned out like political whores. Marjorie Greene, you know, making these deals, she thinks she's a genius. She thinks that she's making moves. You're not making moves. You're being used. You are being instrumentalized by them. And you think that's influence. They use you and you think that's influence. They tell you what to do. They tell you what to support. You have no say in it. You have no independent following, no independent base of support. And you think that's influence. That's a mirage. So that's why we have to absolutely steel ourselves going into 2026 and 2028. You and me have to steel ourselves. We cannot ever allow it to happen again. We can let the Republican Party lose. And they will squeal like pigs. And they will say, you're going to make us lose. You're with the Democrats. Nick Fuentes is an operative. They're going to say all this kind of stuff. Remember how you feel now when they say that. Fuck you. They're going to tell us in 26, just like they did in 24. They're going to say, we got to hold the line. I know it's not all it's cracked up to be. I know we didn't deliver on everything, but hey, it's not all bad. They're going to say that. And in 2026, you need to be ready to say, well, that sounds like a you problem. They're going to tell you, Republicans can't afford to lose the House. You're going to have to say, that sounds like a you problem. You know, you should have thought of that when you put together this big, beautiful bill and it was a piece of shit legislation. You should have thought of that when you didn't deport 2 million people in 2 years. You should have thought of that when you brought in those 600,000 Chinese students. Do those people vote? You should have thought of that when you said you need 600,000 Chinese students to pay the universities. Are the universities going to vote? Go ask them for their vote. Go ask the 600,000 Chinese students for their vote. Go ask the Ivy League universities for their vote because you're keeping them in business by doing that. Go ask the illegal immigrant farmers and the illegal immigrants that work in hospitality. Go ask for their vote because you protected their right to live here illegally. That's who you're looking out for. So what are you talking to me for? You're telling me Republicans are going to lose? That sounds like a you problem. Go tell the people you actually defend. Go talk to Elon Musk. Go talk to Sam Altman. Go ask to Ken Griffin. Go talk to BlackRock and Blackstone. You go and talk to them, Larry Fink. And you explain to them that Republicans are going to get devastated in the midterms and how bad it's going to be. Because you had your chance. You had the House. You had the Senate, the White House, the Supreme Court. It was supposed to be a golden age. Remake the federal judiciary or the federal bureaucracy. They said, Section F, we're going to fire 50,000 people. We're going to move fast and break things. We're going to cut the deficit. They didn't do any of it. Where's my National Guard? Where's my tariffs? Where's my austerity? Where's my savings in waste, fraud, and abuse in the deficit? Where's my mass deportations? Where's my America First labor policy? Where the fuck is it? You come back asking for more? You come back asking for another vote in 26? And if I say no, that's my fault? I'm the problem? And they'll do it again in 28. And that's why, you know, a lot of people say the show is a black pill. The show is negative. I need you to feel this. I need you to feel it in your bones. I need you to feel it in your heart. You have been betrayed. This is treachery. You have been betrayed. Things are not going well for you. It is going well for them. They don't even care. They are giddy. They are giddy. They are gleeful. Tucker and Candace told you to vote for Trump. Are they hurting? No. They're making more money than ever. Tucker just bought a new house in Doha. Candace Owens cannot contain her joy. She told you to vote for this nonsense. Trump and all of his cronies made probably billions of dollars off of the Trump shitcoin. How are you doing? How are you handling the increase in Netflix and Disney Plus subscription costs? How are you handling the increase in prices across the board? 4.5%, 5% interest rate on a mortgage. How are you handling that? Did you use buy now, pay later for Black Friday? Do you feel like we live in a safer, more white country with fewer immigrants than we did a year ago? Absolutely not. So you need to live in this. You need to, I'm not one of these people that's cheerful, rah, rah, rah. Hey guys, everything's fine. No, it's not fine and it's not okay. Everything sucks and it's not okay. And things need to change now. And they need to understand that if things don't change now, then we are ready to join them. We will hold their hand and we will walk into oblivion together. We will walk you down that road. They say it's going to be your fault. It's your fault. We have been promised things for 10 years and it's always just around the corner, just another election. We just need a couple more seats. I got off the hamster wheel. I stopped playing that a long time ago. I endorse no one yet. You give me something, you fight for me, you promise me something. If you're some new guy, okay, now we'll talk. All these other people, you lost. So that's why I'm trying to really drill this home for you. Like, all it is marketing. All it is constant, ceaseless marketing. Email list, subscriptions, watch the primetime thing. Hey, guys, sloganeering from Susie Wilde. Hey, everything's actually fine. Really? For who? For Elon Musk, who's now worth $600 billion? For who? Bitcoin's at 85,000. No gains. Anyway, so that's that. We're going to move on. We'll talk a little bit about Dan Bongino, but that's my rant about this whole Trump administration. How do we translate this into action? That's always the question. People always want to know, how do we change it? And I'll tell you how we change it. We have to get organized, okay? Separately, we are weak. Together, we are strong. This is just a basic principle. People say that's fascism. That's just true. And what we need is an American lobby. The Trump administration fears the Israel lobby. They don't want to upset the Israelis. Why? Because the Israelis have independent power. Ben Shapiro will not vote for Trump if he doesn't think Trump is pro-Israel. Think about that. Think about this for a moment. Why is the Republican Party afraid of offending Israel and Jews? Because Israel and Jews have power. But what does that mean? It means they have money. Money that buys television ads, newspaper ads, radio ads. It means they have position. They have positions of influence that they can use to influence the course of the election. And it's not just that they have power, but they're willing to use it for their own interests. So if Trump says, I don't support Israel, let's say he keeps every single one of his policies, but he doesn't support Israel. Do you think Ben Shapiro's voting for him? Honest question. Let's say Trump keeps every single one of his policies, but he doesn't support Israel. Is Ben Shapiro voting for Trump, yes or no? We all know the answer is no. And he's going to tell his audience not to vote for Trump. As a matter of fact, he's going to encourage his audience not to vote for Trump. There's a lesson in this. Take your own side. take inventory of what you have. We have our vote. We have some money. We have some position. Use it in defense of your interests. And if somebody is not doing something for you, do not take their side. Do not support them. They are not entitled to it. They do not own it. They are not owed it. That is the difference. That is why Black people are getting reparations in kind every year. That is why Jewish people are getting their end taken care of for Israel. That is why Indians and Chinese are getting their end taken care of, because they speak up for themselves. They use their resources for their own benefit. It is us stupid white people, stupid Christians that say, well, we got to hold the line. Well, we got to be team players. Well, we got to vote Republican. You got to get up and say, you know what? If there is no immigration moratorium, I'm not voting for Trump. I don't care how unpopular it is. I don't care how difficult it is. If he doesn't commit to an immigration moratorium, then we will not vote. Listen to them squeal, but you're not being a real Republican, but we can never do that, but that's impractical, but that'll never... You figure it out. You're running for office. You're running for Congress. You're running for president. You figure it out. We're the voters. 90% of the people that voted for Trump in 2016 were white, and they're all being robbed of their birthright. They're all being dispossessed. They're all being forced into minority status, a country where foreigners and the foreign-born and invaders outnumber us and dominate culturally, politically, socially. And Trump has been complicit in it. We have interests as a people. Let's start fighting for them. So we have to group up and we have to make it known and get the word out. These are our demands. They are simple. There is a short list of them. We do not want a war in Iran. We do not want a single net immigrant coming into the country. You work out the details. Otherwise, we're staying home and you can take your chances. You figure out the fucking math on that. You figure out how to sell it to the American people. That's your job. But people weren't ready to do that last year. I hope that after this experience, you're ready to do it next year. I hope you're ready to do that in 2028, because that is what is required. We have to use our power. And let them sweat, let them panic, because these political people have made a lot of money. They have made a lot of money, and they live a pretty nice lifestyle, private jets and fancy hotels and fancy receptions and rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous and patronage, like things you couldn't believe, lobbyist money like you couldn't believe. Let them work for it. What do we have to lose at this point? People say, well, if a Democrat gets in, they're going to throw open the border, brother. It's baked in. What do you think? A few million more immigrants is going to change anything? Honest to God, we're going extinct as a species. If there's not an immigration moratorium, you can cut it 10%, you can cut it 50%. It's time to get serious.